the timeline from naught, all right, 12 to the present. And so age 0 to 12, they are the primary victim. At age 12 to the present, they become the primary victimizer. And in the core of who you are, you're going to be in conflict. So you're going to be, the conflict is victim against versus victimizer. So this is what's going on inside of each SRA person. And so this is not a separate part. For example, Anastasia, 0 to 12, who you are as a victim, and Anastasia from 12 to the present, who you are as victimizer. It is the core. Okay? So it's the core identity. And it's not a separate part. It is one lineage. It's that whole line that we can draw. And so note, if a survivor is not able to connect with who they are as the perpetrator, then you will very quickly come to a standstill. So we spoke about it last night, but I'm underlining it again. It is so important that they have to embrace the fact that they weren't just the victim. And that's when they push the little children out. And sure, we love them and we our hearts go out to the little ones. And there's a place for that. But then we've got to get to the other side of the victimizer for them really to get to a place of healing. So victim represents the passive will and victimizer represents the active will. Can you see what's going on here? So now when the victimizer, the will is to serve Satan, because remember what they do at 13? I will, I will, I will. So they join with the will of Satan. And to do the will of Satan. All right, and then we see a person needs all their will to come out of captivity. So all, whether it's the little ones that are, their will has been made passive, or the other side, which is the victimizer, where their will is aligned with Satan, for this person to be set free, we need all of their will so that they can come free. The active will has the authority to make present day decisions. So that's why we say you chose for Satan. You aligned your will with Satan. And so now you have a choice as an adult. You have a choice. Who are you going to serve? What gives you the choice? When Jesus took the cup, he finished the very last drop of the cup in the garden when he said, Father, not my will, but let your will be done. And so you now, because of what Jesus has done, you now can make a choice to come out of this. Many times, but I can't. No, Jesus made a way where there was no way. You can call upon the Lord. And you know, I've just watched Doug, how he's, where people are really struggling and they're choking and they're not getting through. They're just not getting to a place. It's just going on and the enemy's hurting them. And immediately Doug would say, come, call upon the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And the promise is you will be saved. And so, just lead them the whole time and get the will active to now align with God. So the passive will is freed up to join with the active will. All right, so just remember this the whole time. You've got the little ones before 12 and then you've got the older ones who's aligned their will with Satan. And so if there's no active will present, then you are stuck. And the passive will remains passive. When you find the progress come to a halt, it is good to ask yourself, where is the active will? So if you're going nowhere, you're stuck, you're saying, where is your active will? Is it still aligned with Satan? Are you still a victim? Because a victim is a child. You can't make choices. Remember the parts that are still stuck here between 0 and 12, that prefrontal cortex? You do not have the freedom of choice, but now from 13, the adult parts start realizing that your will has been wrongly aligned. And now you have a choice to align with the will of God. All right, so often there will be an adult standing back and watching as child parts present. So behind the child, they push the children forward, push the little ones forward, waste your time. So they come in for a counseling session and all you do is coloring in and nursery rhymes and all sorts of things, because all they push forward are the children. You're going to waste time. Say, listen, we can't do that. We can't just be having the children around all the time. We've got to go to this side where the adults are. We need to now start saying, I've got to align my will with God's will. You must make the choice. What is your choice? What are you choosing? And so you will just be running in circles if they keep on pushing the children forward until that will comes forward with a capacity to make some choices.
Usually, because of dissociation and the compartmentalization of the will, that person says, but I don't want to have anything to do with God. I don't care. I am what I am. In other words, it is so entrenched, it is so obstinate, and I just say, well, then you stay forward. You don't have to change. If your will is to be forever a servant of Satan, then I bless you to stay forward. Now, presenter, you are committed to the will of Jesus Christ. Will you give up your separateness and come into oneness with a person who has absolutely nothing want to do anything with Jesus Christ? Are you willing to give up? Yes. Oh, she wants nothing to do with, excuse me. Wow. So she wants nothing to do with me. Okay? Well, why don't you ask her? And I'll stop. Yeah, she said she's willing. I didn't know that, you know, because this conflict has been going on a long time. So I said, well, let's just see what happens. Are you willing, as the person who's committed to Jesus, to give up your separateness and come into that adult representation who represents the most committed to Satan? And if check and see. She said, yes, okay. Then we invite you to come forward and see what happens. For now, in transition, you just become one unified person. You're no longer DID, serving Satan. And I love this, because it's DID work. And they, when it happens, their eyes open up, and they see how deceived they are. And once that comes together, they wouldn't be sitting in front of you if they wanted to serve Satan. Okay? Remember, when you're dealing with DID, you're not dealing with a whole person. And so I always work with this, knowing that I am working with a divided person in conflict. And so I use that to the advantage of bringing that in. I said, you need to give yourself permission to just become one unified, no longer DID person, serving Satan. And guaranteed, would you make that choice, you're going to learn something that you would never know while you're separate. Are you ready to go for it? And it will be a faith-based choice, not an experience-based choice. And when they do it, it always works. It always works.
Did you hear what Doug has just said? This is radical. And especially for the Christian presenter who has done everything in her life to be a Christian, to pray and fast and be with God. Now suddenly, she is faced with this challenge. I've got to give up everything. Everything that, everything that I've held dear, that I have, you know, that has been precious to me. And now, I must become a Satanist who does all these curses. Sorry, Mark. In my throat. I mean, that is such a challenge. And it can take some time because they are struggling. And they've really got to trust God that He's going to take them through. That they're not now going to be being a Satanist and casting spells and all sorts of things. Although, the same body has been doing that anyway, because they're one person. And when they get to the place to realize, but I have been a witch. I have been a murderer. I am an idolater. It's me. It's not a part of me. Because while they are saying it's a part of me that goes out, a part of me goes to Jerusalem, a part of me is having sex, a part of me. So in other words, they're standing here, no, it's that part of me. While they're still thinking like that, it's DID and it's being reinforced. But the minute they start saying, but it's me, now we're going back to, I'm one person. God made me one person. And if I want to be better, if I want the bad guys to stop fetching me and doing things to my body, I have to now join. But they must have enough capacity and trust and faith to know that God will take them through. So this is not an easy, this is not just, they're just, not just going to walk into it. You're going to have to support, encourage, and get them to that process. Okay, so bear in mind that often that will is violently opposed to current direction you're going until it can come forward and be grounded in the present, heard and validated and co-conscious with the rest of the system. And what is so important is that if that Satanist part is forward, as Doug was saying, you don't have to lead them to Jesus, which we did in the past. You just say, listen, come, stay, as Doug was saying, stay forward. Stay forward. Okay, and then, so you've got this tremendous conflict inside. And once they're present and they heard and validated and co-conscious with the rest of the system, it's talking all the time so that the presenter can hear what is really going on inside. Always keep the presenter listening. So, if the presenter comes in, hi, I've come for the appointment today, and I would like to speak to somebody that you know that there's a part there. I call you forward. I want to speak with you. And then they sit and they change, and that part comes forward. Then always say, I want the presenter to listen. Don't let the presenter go away and stay divided. We want the presenter to listen. Because the presenter is the one who's been deceived all this time, and where the walls have been built to keep the presenter not knowing what is really going on. All right, so now, again, as we said last night, Doug was saying people are having a problem with the word new birth identity. It's the one, the little one, who opened their heart to Jesus. So you ask, how old was the little girl who first gave her heart to Jesus as Anastasia? That is Anastasia presenting, which is one of the core shields. You say, how old was the little girl? At the time when she gives her heart to Jesus, the entire person comes together briefly. Okay, there's one person who decides to give their life to Jesus and then is shattered. And that heart that gave her, the little one that gave her heart to Jesus is then brought to death. So there's the brief moment where they are one. Because remember, this is now, Jesus is coming into their life. It's awesome. It's how He made us. So in the beginning they were one, and then they did all the splitting. Now this little one opens the heart to Jesus, and in that brief time, they won again. I mean, this is Jesus. They won again. But then, immediately after that, they are shattered and taken into death. And so that little one who's wrapped up in death, who gave their heart to Jesus, that's the target. We know Satan wants to steal the light. He wants the neshama. That's what he's after, is that image of God. Because we are made in the image of God. What does he hate the most? The image of God. We are the image of God. He hates us. How's he going to hurt God? He couldn't get God out of heaven. He couldn't, you know, God just flicked his little finger and Satan went flying. So he couldn't dethrone God. So what's he doing? He's hurting the image of God. We are made in his image. So he's after the neshama. That's what he's after. That is the target. And so most of the people we have worked with report that there's a drawing out of their heart at 12 to 13 months to give their hearts to Jesus. And this is what either the new birth identity or the little one that gives their heart to Jesus. This is neshama. And this is what Satan is after. He wants that glory because he lost the glory. Remember when he was kicked out of heaven and through the rebellion? What did he lose? He was in the throne room. He was shining. He had God's glory. God made him. He's a creature that God made with glory. And so he loses it. And now he wants it back. And he's stealing it through hurting these precious little ones and stealing their neshama. Okay, so ask now. Now, what happened to that little girl that first gave her heart, opened her heart to Jesus? Ah, she's dead. So this one in death is the target. But you need the active will to access her. And that is why you can't go get anywhere if you work with the little ones, because that will is not active. Are you understanding? You must get to the adult parts where the will is active, so that you can get to that little one.
One of the ways in which, when we get to this, okay, you have this adult that did the ritual to put to death this core part of her. I said, so she's dead? Is this the one that first gave her heart to Jesus? Yes. And she's dead? What does she look like? Well, she's in a coffin. She's on an altar. Are her eyes open or closed? Well, they're closed. Because I'm going to talk to her. So in Jesus' name, I address you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I call you back from death into life. Open your eyes and see where you are. You're not on that altar anymore. And when that adult person sees that, because it's a dissociative domain, open your eyes, look at your hands, and once she sees that that's there, that is the adult extension, then the resistance can begin to break down and you can move towards the ultimate reunion of that one who was dead. Because if you speak, remember, you have the authority to speak to that which is dissociated in death. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command death off of you and I call you back to life. And I see it over and over again. They open their eyes. I say, come forward, see where your body is now. Look at your hands. And it breaks down the amnesia and the deception in that core extension. Wow, I thought I killed her. She's alive.
Okay. And so God will not violate the person's will. You know, God waits. And if the person says, I want to, God moves. So Satan is the one that breaks the will of the child, but God doesn't do that. So there's been an agreement or an alignment with Satan along the way that must be dealt with. And so, 13-year-old, you've agreed with Satan, the 5-hour wills of Satan, you've aligned your will, and that needs to be dealt with. So now we get to the victimizer. Now you, Anastasia, you are the adult extension, all right? That's from the little one. You are now the adult extension, 12, 13. You came into agreement with Satan to put that little girl to death. Are you prepared to tell me about the ritual? What happened? When you were that age, you had a big ritual that went down. You're 12, 13 years old. Tell me what happened. It can be that they used the clone of that little girl, the small little one who gave her heart to Jesus, and the 12, 13-year-old believes the little girl is truly dead. And the little girl carries all the pain and the shame. And she was the victim. The 12, 13-year-old does not want to be a victim anymore. She hates the little weak one who caused all the trouble. And so there's the huge conflict. And so the key for undoing the whole, the whole story to get to that will is this 13-year-old, but you don't easily get to the 13-year-old. It's quite a challenge because remember the 13-year-old has vowed never to speak, to go for therapy or to speak to a counselor. So there's vows that are in place. And so it is important to know that when you have the victim, there is a shield or a lockdown until you release the active will that keeps it there. And so you've got the victim, the child is a victim. The child is lying there on the altar, dead or whatever it is. But until you get to the active will of the 13-year-old, the older extensions that agreed with Satan, we're not going to be able to help the little one. And the 12 or 13-year-old who flipped is not a victim anymore, but now a victimizer. And so this is from up until 12, they are a victim because the little brain isn't fully developed. But from 13, there's a flip that takes place, and now they become strong. I don't want to be weak. I'm not ever going to be a victim again. I will reign. I will. And so they become the victimizer. So usually the 13-year-old domain of the core person in this illustration, Anastasia, they are the last to come forward. So that 13-year-old is really a challenge because of the oaths that they have made. Being cult active, they've made vows never to talk to any counselor. There are sealing rituals, and it's also important to address all other sealing rituals, often in 13-year segments. So at the 13-year-old gives birth to the first Nephilim son, she's mother. There's a seal. You know, when a king seals with his signet ring, and we know that a seal is made with, you know, the red wax, but now this is the blood. It's sealed with blood. And so the 13-year-old, then again 26-year-old, it's sealed with blood. 39-year-old, they give birth to the next Nephilim, it's sealed with blood. 52, they give birth to their last Nephilim, sealed with blood. And then at 65 is the last and final seal, which the son that they gave birth to at 52 normally gets sacrificed, and with his blood, that this 65-year-old is now sealed into the fullness of the grace of Satan. And so that's why it's more difficult to work through everything with an older person than with the younger ones. So the younger ones, because they're less seals, all right, there's less history, it's easier to work with them, to get them free. The older ones, it's because they set in religious ways, and it's 65, it's hard, it's really tough. It's not impossible. God is working. We've got quite a few of those that we started with many years ago in South Africa, and God is still, you know, bringing the release. And Doug has been working with some of our more senior people. And there has really been a tremendous breakthrough. So in these events, of the sealing events, the initial trauma and responses will be brought forward, repeated and sealed. So let's say now they are 39 years old. Okay, so the 39th birthday. And now, because these are sealing events, at the 39th birthday, what do? They take this 39-year-old, they're 39 in the body, they regress them back. Okay, take them back, regress them back, right to birth. And the little one that gives her heart to Jesus here. And so, because remember, that's the target. That's the target. What do? They do exactly repeat the three-way sex again. She, in her little mind, she is the little one that has given her heart to Jesus. All right? Open up her heart to Jesus. But now what is happening is that although she's 39 years of age, they've regressed her back. And they're doing the three-way sex again. So in her little mind, she's the little one. And what happens? Deeper death. Because remember, they want that neshama to stay in death. So they just reinforce it. And so they regress her back to being 13 months old. And they redo the rituals, that three-way sex, and they bury her. So even although the body is 39, and then at 52, they do the same. They regress her back to where that little one is 13 months old. She's given her heart to Jesus. Although the body is big and 52 years old, they regress. So they can play with the timelines. Why? Because they have captured a part of her essence here. Can you see how they can play with her? Although she's 39 or 52, they can pull up that little one who's stuck. Here, that little 13-month-old is stuck, and they can redo those rituals and make sure you will not get to Neshama. And this is many times, Doug, it's before they come to see you, before there's an appointment, because they're trying to stop the counseling. They're trying to stop this. Then they'll call up the false Doug Riggs. All right, the false Doug Riggs, this Nephilim Doug Riggs, who's very cruel. And what he would then do is he would do terrible rituals to them. The night before, they have to see the real Doug Riggs. And then they regress them back. And it's always regressing them back to an 18-month-old baby. Sorry, a 13-month-old baby doing the three-way sex. Sealing, making sure Neshama stays in. So now they come for counseling. And they, hello, how are you? Now they come loaded with a false Doug Riggs stuff. And the minute Doug picks that up, because the minute they start interacting, that download of all that filth and whatever was done to this person gets projected onto Doug. And we want to now, after a little break, we want to speak to you about transference and counter-transference. Because if you're going to work in this field, you're going to be hit with downloads done by the cult to try and stop the work that's going on here. And so, when you see, this is so important. So they come loaded. They know the person is coming for ministry. And these programmers are not stupid. They try and find out the tricks. And as Doug said, even false Neshama, false Jesus. That's, so the false, the Neshama, they've started to now build in. And so they come loaded, preloaded, with so much stuff that the false Doug Riggs has done. And then when they connect, the stuff is vomited. It's like vomited onto Doug. And he gets hit. So that it will just stop the whole thing. You know, something will happen that the counseling will not continue. And so, you know, I just want to wrap up with a couple of these things, and then we want to speak to you about the transference and counter-transference that will take place. So remember, even in the church, they'll be out there and they'll load them. They'll load them and send them in. And when they connect with you, whew, the stuff is vomited onto you. So be prepared when you suddenly feel, ah, you know, I've got a headache, or I'm sick, or whatever it is, whatever the ritual is that they were uploaded with, that they could just come and vomit and release. Just be aware, you guys are working as a team, which is amazing. We cannot do this alone. We need each other. And you've got each other's backs, and that is the beauty of what we've seen here, is that you're not alone. You're not trying to stand alone. And the minute you feel something, you say, listen, pray for me. Please pray this off me. And that is what's so brilliant about what God has put together here. It is amazing because, you know, people have tried to do this alone and they get hit and they get taken out. You can't do it alone. All right, so I just want to wrap up so that, Doug, we can then go into the transference and counter-transference. So just remember, because there's that little one is stuck at 13 months in death, they want to keep the neshama down. And so they will do everything to try and make sure that neshama stays wrapped up in death. But what is such good news, the work that you've done and where the parts have already joined, integrated, where they are touching and where they're hugging and where they've become one again, the enemy cannot get back in there. Isn't that good news? So that is what the whole thing is to make sure that there's no more, you know, because they hide the parts, because they know if they can keep the parts hidden and away from you and from the integration, then they're going to have access. They will continue having access. All right. So the more recent access will be the gateway to the original. So if they come in, then you say, okay, when was the last time you were in Jerusalem? When was the last time you had sex with your Nephilim son? And now, because they know that they're coming in for an appointment, they will say, oh, last night. Then you must know. And if you're in this, if you're in this ministry, and you're becoming a serious threat for the enemy, there will be clones made of you. And so the survivors will start saying, hey, but I see you in a ritual. I see you at a ritual. And then you say, okay, come, look in my eyes and see. Are you seeing the real Amanda at a ritual? Or maybe it's a clone, because the one that's representing me is very cruel and very evil. And then they come, you know, in the Netherlands, while I'm teaching, I've got these survivors sitting there with big eyes looking at me. You know, and then some say to me, can I look at your eyes? And then they come right up to me. And they look at me, and they know you're the real Amanda. And so, and with Doug, they do the same. And you know, it was so interesting, this one lady we were working with on Skype, and Doug didn't even realize what he was doing, but what they had done with her is the false Doug Riggs, the picture that they'd put in her mind so that she would run away from this Doug Riggs and shut down and not open up, was a Doug Riggs with glasses on. So, Doug didn't know this. So, she's now, you know, apprehensive. So, he takes off his glasses. He says, now he looks into the Skype camera, you know, you can see this face here. And he says, look at my eyes. So, he took the glasses off and he broke the spell. He didn't know. He didn't know what they had done, you know, what program they'd put in. But he took his glasses off and then she said, oh no, you're the real Doug Riggs. So you need to know that they will make copies. If you are in this ministry and you're becoming a serious threat, they will make copies of you so that the survivors will start fearing you and don't want to come. But just say, it's fine, I understand. But check me out. You're welcome to check me. Let's ask the Lord Jesus, what does he say? Is this the real Amanda? So what did they say now? What are they saying about you, Doug? How are they identifying you now? So the one with the bump on the head is the real one. Okay. Okay. So the cult clones of counselors, look out for the false cult. Doug Riggs, Amanda, or whoever's being trained up in this field, you need to know how to navigate past this false counselor. Okay, this is very real. This is the tricks they play. This is the deception. They revert them back to little children, and the children can't. They're fearful, and now they're seeing this false Doug or false Amanda or false Carrie, false Dean, whatever it is, and they're afraid. And so you've got to help navigate past this. All right. So the core person at 13 is being defended and silent because they're not allowed to speak to the counselor. Now you give them an ultimatum. You have a choice. I know you there, 13-year-old. I know you there. And that you have not come forward yet. I haven't met you. I know that because you're hiding. That you've made oaths. You won't speak to me. All right, so now, how to handle the protection and the lockdowns. This 13-year-old that's absolutely been locked down. That domain inside of you that is responsible for keeping the presenter from knowing about you, the 13-year-old, you need to come forward. If there is no response, so for now we'll call the appointment off. If you are wanting to proceed, it's your choice. I'm not going to waste any more time. It's your choice. We just call it off. We put it on hold. When you are ready, contact me. So don't, you know, it's their will. God gives them freedom of choice. It's their will. And so the 13-year-old needs to come forward to speak to me. But it's your call. I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to force you. You are the one doing the work. I, as the counselor, is the one just helping you stay on track and guiding you where you need to go. And so, a word of advice, when you're working with the 13-year-old, it can take multiple sessions to get to this point.
The trap that I fell in for years is that I was more invested in rescuing these people than they were of taking the responsibility that Amanda is talking about. You can't be more invested than they are. So these kinds of ultimatums are positive double binds. And so I will just say, well, you know what? This is your choice. I am willing to pick up the journey when you are ready, but I'm not responsible for your freedom. And so this is for you, there will be counseling, or I want to rescue this person. This person is a victim. As long as you only see them as a victim, you just may be in a place where you're more invested than they are at that point of their journey. So it's okay to back off, like she said, so that they know they have a choice.
Okay. So be patient and keep on going until that 13-year-old is ready to talk to you, because you talk past, although they're silent and in the back, they hear you. And so you keep on talking until eventually that 13-year-old comes forward, and then you know, wow, we're really getting somewhere. You will need to clear off a lot of the demonic to make sure that you're only working with humanity, that it's not the demonic that is around. So that's where the spiritual warfare comes in. You have to decontaminate and detox the system from the demonic charge, demonic resistance, and demonic attachments. You know, sometimes they will come forward with such rage, such anger. I am so angry they can kill right there, because that's what the whole purpose is of all that was done to them. I mean, take just somebody who's been raped. And now for them to deal with the anger of what was done to them, that's one rape. Can you imagine all the anger that is bottled up, and it's encapsulated into one person who's the murderer, who's the destroyer, who's part of Apollyon, who's going to be killing people? And so they start from small, encapsulating that anger. And so when that angry partner, the 13-year-old is very angry. So because she's the one that's now aligned with Satan. So if she does come forward, there is that tremendous anger. What you do is realize that they also demonically charged with Satan's anger. So it's not just the humanity anger. There's also satanic anger, which is terrible, because they cannot even move because of that anger that is demonically charged by Satan himself. And so that, once you clear that off, they are able to deal with their own anger, just the humanity's anger, and not still the satanically charged anger.
And this is where strategic warfare comes in, and you can't, that you have to be bold. It's in the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I address the source of this anger. I command the source of this anger to glorify Jesus Christ or get out. I cut off in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ everything that's a satanic charged anger. Get out. Directed towards the heart of the little girl that first trusted in Jesus. Get out. That which cannot leave, I bless in Jesus' name and call you forward. So you have to detox, defuse, because otherwise the charge is so great, the protection won't let it in. Because they're terrified. All they know is that when they're in rituals, when they come out, people die. And so, for the first time, they can come forward after there's breaking off that satanically driven charge, the generational hatred of Hitler, the hatred that hates God. You break that off, and once that person come forward for the first time, they're going to see, and the little person that first trusted in Jesus, wow, nobody died. That's the first time they'll ever see that nobody died when they came forward.
Amen. Amen. You will need to go to war, and you must cut off the demonic stuff, the demonic attachments. Drive them out. Do not tolerate anything that is not part of the body, that's not part of their humanity. Anything that God cannot bless, remove in Jesus' name. And so the warfare, how would you pray? What sort of example would you pray, Doug? So, here we go. In the name of Jesus, I bind Satan and all the instrumentalities of Satan. The demons, the fallen angels are not the same, okay? So we've spoken about that. I bind you and I shut your mouth and I paralyze you. You are commanded to be separated out, be removed from this process. I command you in Jesus' name, you release that humanity and allow it to come forward. Remember, they're holding them captive. If there is resistance, okay, you've spoken it, you've commanded, now, but there's resistance. I now call upon the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have resistance here, Lord, and they are defying your name. We've used the name of Jesus, and we know the word says that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. So the demons have to go. So why aren't they going? Father God, they are defying your name. What are you going to do about this, Lord? So this isn't arrogant. This isn't arrogant. Doug, explain. Explain.
Once we get to something that is this level and you're getting close to that 13-year-old domain that has the most volitional authority for the core person, you have to be patient, clear everything off, and then you can just, it's kind of like you switch. Well, we've done the prayer warfare. Is there someone that just needs to come forward and talk a little bit about what's happening? Yeah, you're not supposed to talk to that person. Oh. So, you the protector? You one of the protectors that keep that 13-year-old from here? Yes. How long have you had this job? For a long time. Have you ever been punished for allowing that person to be here? Oh, yes. Well, I'm going to invite the presenter to come into you. So you can, in all the rest that's been separate from you, because the protector is out now, because you've done the warfare, I'm going to ask everyone to come into who you are that is the protector so you can all share in this responsibility. If that has been tortured, which it often has, and once that comes in, then it will unlock the next protector or will get you access to talk to that volitional domain that we've been talking about.
Doug, explain the fact that you are speaking to God and you are saying to the Lord, what are you going to do about this?
Well, I just sit back and wait. Okay, Father God, we have defiance here. If that's has a satanic source, then are you not responsible to deal with this? And he does. I said, what do you need to do, Father, to glorify Jesus Christ? Your word is written. It is written that Jesus Christ is a head over all rule, authority, and principality and power. He's ruler of the kings of the earth. When he was exalted, he passed through the heavens. He's exalted above the heavens. And he's now seated at the right hand of God the Father, far above all rule, authority, and principality and power. We call upon you, Father, to bring in the manifestation for all the elect and fallen angels what it means for Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, to be glorified at your right hand. And something will break through. And then if there's still resistance, okay. Now we know you're there. Come forward. Let's talk about the resistance. I speak through, and we get the humanity here. More of the humanity. If it's protection around this domain, we can work through it, bring everything into that protection, and gradually you'll burrow in and get to that place where you need to go. At a point where there's resistance that doesn't seem to be broken, I say, okay, I speak to the core person who has the most volitional authority. When, the last time you're in a ritual, let's talk about the vows that you made. Because if that resistance will be anchored to a core person who, with the vows that were made and reinforced the last time they're in a ritual, I call you forward, let's talk about the vows, and they're there. What did you vow? Let's talk about it. I know you're there. And they come forward. I vowed not to be here. I vowed not to be ever part of this Christian community. I vowed to never let anybody know who I am. I vowed to never talk to you. What else? What else? I vowed to never call upon the name of Jesus. You know, just get out. What else? What else? Now you just stay, and I'm going to invite all the rest to just come into you. You just keep bringing out of the past, into the present, that which you worked with, into who that person is that made the vows. And so you're facilitating integration, and all I can say is it just keeps working. And once you see what works, you just keep doing and repeating what works.
Amen. Okay, the God the Father then immediately deals with it, and the whole thing is we cannot do anything because it's not our work; it's God's work. Okay, it's God that does. It's His power. It's His authority. He deals with the enemy. All right, so it is His name and reputation that matters, not me as the counselor. You know, I'm not the mighty counselor. The Holy Spirit is. And so it's God's work to deal with the enemy. All right, what about the anger? When the humanity comes forward, it is often very angry and comes with a charge. Remember, that anger is a secondary emotion because of what was done to them. It's a secondary emotion created off the primary emotion that could have been shame or terror or extreme trauma. So we had an amazing breakthrough today with one of the ladies. And what happened was we could get through the anger. So she got in touch for the first time with the anger. And she had to go through it. I was saying to her, don't hold back. Don't try and resist. Go through, because anger is secondary. And so I was encouraging her, go all the way. Don't hold back. Go all the way. And as she went through the anger, she came and it unlocked what really happened. She is presented, didn't know. Wow, it was amazing to see God work. But that anger that you have to work through to get onto the other side. All right, and then we see, so it's very good to get the anger domain forward and stay with it. I said to her, stay with it. Come on, we're going to go through. We're going to go through the anger, because I knew what's on the other side. That angry one may not even be a Christian. It could be someone who hates God, hates Jesus, hates Christians. And so do not try and evangelize them, all right? We're not going to lead them to Jesus and baptize them. And so let them talk and express their emotions. There is a reason for hating God, Jesus, Christians. Tell me about it. Tell me why you're so angry with the church. Tell me why do you hate Christians? Why you got a problem? What happened to you? And as you listen to them telling you about this God or this Jesus, I called upon him and he didn't come. Or, you know what? He raped me. He's the one, then, you know, that's the false Jesus. And so there is this, you know, you must let them talk because they've been tricked. You say, listen, don't you think you were tricked because there was a false Jesus? You know, because the true Jesus and the true God will not hurt you. And so there's that deception. And so you explain to them that this is not the God or Jesus of the Bible.
From a DID perspective, when you bring that forward and allow that to stay forward, it may take a while. That which has never been forward before because it's been so deeply dissociated and trapped in anger. The goal, because this is a dissociated domain, just looking at it clinically, bring that forward, keep it forward, keep talking. The longer that stays forward and you keep talking, it's breaking down amnesia. It's allowing co-presence and co-consciousness to begin to bleed through to the presenter and that which has been amnesic. So the longer you keep that forward, the amnesia is breaking down. There's a point when you can say, okay, I want to invite the presenter. Are you willing to now come into this person who that? You've listened long enough. Are you willing to take ownership for this? So the process of being patient and allowing that to speak, like she says, you don't evangelize them. If you evangelize them, you're treating that aspect like it's a separate person. It's not. It's a psychological construct created in trauma. There's only one person sitting in front of you. Mm-hmm. So don't buy into the fact that you're talking to another person. You never are. There's only one person there. But they never had a chance to be one person. They're divided, they're conflicted, they're compartmentalized. And so you always remember that you're dealing with a disorder. It's the dissociative identity disorder, and that which is presenting doesn't represent the whole person. But you have to be respectful and recognize that it is an aspect of their identity. And when you see how this works over a period of time and see the fruit that comes from this, then it's very rewarding because that person gradually moves towards unification, conflict diffused, and they're able to become the person that they never had a chance to be.
Amen. Yeah, that's powerful. Thanks, Doug. Okay, here we go. One person. So, it's amazing, Doug. Do not try to Christianize the defenses. You are dealing with a person who is DID. These are not different people that you're dealing with. These are ego states. They are constructs. So it's just the lies that they're believing. And what is so important, you know, the old method was we would speak to them like different people. And that's what was keeping DID in place. So the therapist was actually keeping it in place. And we didn't know. We thought we were helping. They are a real part of the person. Do not get caught up treating them as separate persons. You are actually strengthening the DID phenomenology that needs to be eroded. And so when the walls come down, they can move towards unity and integration through co-consciousness and co-presence. And so as a survivor, it is often very easy to stay in the victimized aspects, okay, from 0 to 12, the child parts, to present that which has been victimized. The council is in a continual state of abreactions when the warfare is taking place. So in other words, they're manifesting or crying, whatever. So they stay in that abreaction case when warfare takes place. This is an indication that an adult aspect of the core is holding back and they're pushing the little ones forward. That's manifesting and crying and crawling and rolling and screaming. So know then there's an adult at the back that's orchestrating this to keep you busy. You will begin to sense the shift the more you work with individuals. There is a point when the warfare has been done and now the person has the ability to make a choice for the first time. So you've cleared off all the demonic and now you say, you can choose. Now we don't want the children anymore because they didn't have a choice. But now, as the adult part, you have a choice. What are you going to do? And so the warfare clears a way for the person to be able to make the choice. It's a choice, it's the choice that matters. Often after the dust settles, when there has been warfare, you can ask, what choices are you aware of now that you didn't have before today? Isn't that precious? So you're giving them back their humanity. Because God made us, love is the freedom of choice. And so, constantly abreacting when warfare takes place, session after session, the reason could be the person is still cult active. So if in every service they are abreacting and they're manifesting all over the place, and this happens over and over and over again, which is they brought a young man to me, he was studying medicine. So he's a bright boy, studying to be a doctor. And he was part of a congregation in Cape Town. And in every service, this young man would manifest. And he was so embarrassed. But he couldn't help, he couldn't stop it. And so every time, all they knew was deliverance. And so every time he would manifest, they would start binding, rebuking, you know, casting out the demons and God, you will go to hell. We send you to hell. We send you to the dry places. And he's just screaming and screaming and manifesting all the time. This happened week after week after week. And the one young guy that was there, he was doing his doctorate, studying theology down there. He was a pastor that was just part of the church for a year. He'd heard about the work that I was doing because he was saying, listen, deliverance is not working. We've tried, we've prayed every single thing we can possibly think of. It's not working. And so he came and I said to him, listen, this could be very strange for you. And you're going to have to really dig around in your theology to try and find whether you're going to accept this. But this is what's really going on. And that there is dissociation. And this is how it works. And so if you see that there's all this manifestation going on, know that there's cult, they could be cult active, or you're holding back in your adult core. In other words, you're allowing your will. Now, when we do normal deliverance and the person manifests, we call them back immediately. We take their hand. We call, what is their name? I mean, sometimes it's in a big church. You don't know the names. You say, listen, what is their name? Call them back. You look them in the eyes. You say, listen, don't allow the enemy to manifest through you, because you are now allowing, you are being a medium because you're allowing the manifestation. All right? So you help, you get their will, and you lead them in a prayer with their will active to renounce the works of the evil one. All right? So that's very important. Otherwise, the person will keep on manifesting. And we've seen how the enemy has hurt people. They've been bleeding. You know, they've been rolling around and they've bashed themselves because we haven't taken that authority and stopped it. And led them, because there's still areas that belongs to the devil. And now the enemy is causing all this havoc inside of them. All right, so that if you're seeing this continuous manifestation in the church, know how to deal with it. The counselor needs to address the conflict, all right? And so the reason for no integration, it's twofold. There are demonic attachments, and they are invested to staying there. And so you're going to have to just deal with those demonic attachments, so the warfare needs to be done. Or if the next reason is there are core conflicts purposefully structured during the trauma mind-based mind control, the programming that was used to create the Hegelian dialect. And that's why. So there's a protector keeping the conflict, keeping the conflict separated. All right. You know what the Hegelian dialect is. So the thesis is the original core. The antithesis is the first creation split off from the core. And the synthesis, remember the middle part, which is now trying to bring a balance between the two extremes, which is which ultimately becomes the presenter. So, are you understanding the Hegelian dialect and how it then functions? All right, so the perpetrators do this over and over and over again. Be aware, do not only work with the child altars the whole time. This shows some major control is going on. So if they're pushing the little ones out and it's just little child parts, you know they are controlling. They do not want to get to accepting the fact that they are victimizers. They are perpetrators. And then the first one who trusted in Jesus, the one who is the most hated and rejected, the one who is the most targeted, the one who felt the most shame, the one who was the most tortured, because this is that little one who gave her heart to Jesus. Look at what she's going through. She's the most hated. She's the most rejected. She's the one most targeted. The one that carries the most shame. The one who was the most tortured. Don't ask for names at this stage, because this is going to take, just chuck them off. Don't go there. And so you, the little girl who gave your heart to Jesus, let us follow your line all the way from birth to age 12, to the age of the body, where you were the victim, that first little part. And then when you became the victimizer, think of all those people who hurt and caused you the most pain. There could be more than one. Who hurt you the most? Joseph Mengele. Who hurt you the most? If you've got to put all the perpetrators that ever hurt you into one room, who's going to be the one that hurt you the most? Who's that one? And so, you see, this is where you're finding out what is the level of the programming. Who are you dealing with? And so, who is the number one person who needs to pay for the wrong they did to you? You're finding out, sometimes it's Mr. P. Do you know who's Mr. P? Mr. Philip. Mr. P. Mr. Philip. Or it's because he was a handler and he paid the money for these children to be programmed. Okay. Or it's Mengele. Or it's Dr. Bowlby, who was part of the programming, because he worked with the bonding and the attachments. And so, Doug, do you want to add here?
Yeah, that's Prince Philip. When I ask the person who is the most abused from 0 to 12, who, like she said, who is the number one person that needs to pay? So they identify who that is. Then second, and this is really critical if you're going to really resolve these deep core conflicts. Okay, for the person from age 12 to the present age of the body, who is the person that's perceived to be the most like Mr. P, Prince Philip, or Dr. Joseph Mengele? Who in you is perceived to be the most like that person or the worst? Is she human? Is she not human? Is it he? Who is that? And let them tell you that I'm going to give you the key. You want to be integrated? You want to be one person? You allow that person to come forward. The one who is perceived and believed to be like the worst person, the one that you hate the most for abusing you, you let that come forward. Because that's where the internalized self-hatred is. That comes forward, and the presenter, the person who is most committed to Jesus Christ, as that comes forward, and that finally comes forward, and the presenter is willing to give up their separateness and come into that person, and you speak through all the others I've ever worked with, I invite you to come forward, take ownership, because the Word of God says, the one who is forgiven much, loves much. And this internal reconciliation with themselves is one of the most key strategies to bring core conflict resolution and integration.
Amen. Have you followed? So you'd go to the one that is from 0 to 12, okay, when they were a victim. So who hurt you the most? And then now you find out who that is. Now remember, what is done on the outside is done on the inside, okay? They build that same image on the inside. So if it was Mr. Philip, or if it was, Joseph Mengele, whatever was outside is now going to be inside. So now we move to the other side. Now, victimizer, perpetrator, who in you looks exactly like that outside guy that hurt you so badly? That's the one that we want to talk to now. Are you, Doug? Well done. You'd explained it well. Okay. So who should die for what they have done to you? Who should pay because they hurt you so badly? And then they will usually name the person, and then the little girl who is hurting you, who is age 12 to the present, you who is perceived to be the most like the victimizer, from age 0 to 12, that domain in you that is perceived to be the most like the victimizer from 12 to the present, or worse, are you ready to go there? All right, I think I'm not going to go into constructs. Constructs are like castles or spiders or Batman or Spider Woman or whatever they put in to try and, have them caught up. Parts of their humanity will be caught up in the construct.
Ko ke ia au, ko ke ia au.